Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and we're so glad you've joined us.
Hey, Dr. Linda, I was just fixing something here in the studio, and then, oh, by the way, did you get that script idea that I sent you last week? I think that would be, and, oh, and Sharon told me to tell you that she liked that post on, do you see what I'm doing here?
Well, hi, to you, too. It seems like you're all over the place, a little bit all over, a little ADD, as some people might say.
Right, yeah.
And that's going to be our show today, Chris. We're going to talk about adults with ADHD.
It's a great topic, and we've not covered ADHD for adults on any show so far, so it's about time we talk about it. Since this affects, which I did not know this, 4.5% of the adult population, and it does affect adult relationships. You know, I think there's a lot of confusion about what ADHD is. First, what is the difference between ADD and ADHD? Let's talk about that, because we hear both terms thrown around all the time.
Yeah, and it is confusing, I think, because people say a lot of times ADD. In the psychiatric world, there's only one term. It's ADHD, which stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. So there are three types. The first one is an inattentive type. And we'll talk about what that is in a minute. But it's really the one that features people being forgetful, disorganized, they can't focus. And that's the one that people always say, oh, you have ADD. So it's the inattentive type when they're talking about that. The hyperactivity, impulsive type, that's where the H comes from, the ADHD. That involves a lot of restlessness, impulsive decision-making, but not so much inattention. So an inattentive type, a hyperactive type, and then there's one that combines both of those, where you have inattention, hyperactivity, and impulsivity. So here's the point I want to make early on in the show. This is a neurodevelopmental disorder. And I'm emphasizing the word neuro because that has to do with neurological, which means it's in the brain, and there actually is a biological base for this that produces poor attention, hyperactivity, and poor impulse control.
See, we always hear about kids with ADHD, and the statistic is about 1 in 20 kids have it, but it can be diagnosed for the first time in adulthood as well. And I want to be honest for a second. I've met adults who say they have ADHD, and I've always felt like that. Is there a chance that this is a cop-out for the behavior that they exhibit? And some of the behavior seems like they're maybe a little bit thoughtless, aloof. They're not really paying attention to what you have to say. It's sort of all about them. And I've always thought it was an excuse. But what we're saying today is it is a diagnosable disorder.
If you really have ADHD, and it can be for the first time diagnosed in adults. Usually we think about it with kids, but the symptoms are just not as apparent until sometimes people get to high school or college or even graduate school or even in a job. And they're challenged because the job might require lots of organization, working on a timetable, being able to get things done, focusing on things that are really boring.
Yes.
And so sometimes adults, maybe they got through school and they figured out a way to accommodate all that, but as they get older, they don't. They can't do it as easily. And that's when the diagnosis is being made. So if you really have the disorder, you will know it when treatment begins because there's such a specific difference when you start to treat the disorder.
Wow. And you hear people say that they hope they grow out of ADHD, but that isn't accurate, is it?
No, it's not. It doesn't just go away in adulthood. Now, some people get better. They have fewer symptoms when they get older as they age. But you continue to have major problems usually in functioning. You can adapt to it. So one of the things I'm thinking about, some people who have trouble with deadlines and doing boring tasks, a lot of times they'll have their own business and they can kind of function on their own timetables. And so it isn't as apparent.
Part of the issue is that ADHD can look a little different in adults.
It can, and that's why it's missed sometimes. So instead of seeing, like we see with kids who are hyperactive, they're just running around and doing all that, with an adult, you might see just this restlessness in the adult. The person might constantly tap their feet, they might play with a pencil, or they just fidget. So in adults, hyperactivity might decrease a little bit, but you're going to really see a little bit more of impulsiveness, restlessness, and difficulty paying attention.
What are some examples of how ADHD looks in adulthood?
When we're thinking about impulsivity with adults, you think about spending money randomly or not even sticking to a budget, driving recklessly.
Right.
Did you know that a lot of people with ADHD get tickets? So it's this kind of, you know, I'm just driving kind of impulsively and recklessly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a careless sexual life. Of course, we hope our listeners are not being sexually active outside of marriage, right. But we know that sometimes that can happen. And the person may also say what is on their mind without thinking about whether or not it hurts people. That's the impulsive part, just kind of saying things without thinking of the effect.
Well, and then one of the biggest complaints in relationships is the forgetfulness part.
Yeah, so you'll see forgetting to do sort of regular tasks, such as taking out the garbage or picking up their kids from school. That could be a problem, right? You forget. Oops.
Right.
Or filing paperwork. People with ADHD, adult ADHD, a lot of times will lose or forget things that they regularly use, like their keys, their phone numbers or important paper. Now we can store phone numbers in our phone, so that isn't so critical.
Right.
And they have trouble with self-motivation, you know, getting started on something. So there's a lot of procrastination.
But if something interests an adult with ADHD, they can then stay focused on it for a while. But then it seems like they can lose focus pretty quickly.
Yeah, so that is really an interesting thing, right? They can, if they really are interested in something, they can shut everything else out. And they'll tell you, they'll say, if I'm really interested in it, I have no problem. But if it's something that doesn't interest me, I can't get myself to do it. And I know I should, no matter how hard I try.
See, the experience I have with this is it seems like, and again, keep me on track here. It can seem a little self-centered because if they're interested in it, they'll pay attention to it. And if they're not interested in you, they'll ignore you. Is that fair?
So one of the mysteries of ADHD is that there are a few specific tasks that people can perform that they're highly interested in, but they can't seem to do it on the everyday boring task. And this has to do with a part of the brain that has to do with motivation and getting the task going. So that is one of the mysteries. Why on some things can they and not other things? But it really is a biological issue.
So it's not a self-centeredness. It's a biological problem.
Right.
This makes it look as though ADHD is simply a matter of willpower.
So it's not. And I'm glad you said that because a lot of people think, well, why can't they just make themselves do it?
Right.
Just get some more willpower. And you can't because it has to do with the chemistry that's going on in the brain. This is a problem, Chris, that has to do with the structures of the brain and how the brain is talking to certain parts of the brain. So there's a part of the brain that is called the executive functioning of the brain. It's in the prefrontal lobe of the brain. And this has to do with your frontal lobe of your brain, which manages time, which helps you pay attention, which helps you switch focus from one thing to another. It's involved in planning, organizing, remembering details, avoiding or saying or doing the wrong thing. And it's involved in multitasking. So when that part of the brain isn't working as well, your behavior is less controlled. It can affect all kinds of things that we've been talking about. And it doesn't matter if you try harder, the brain isn't making the connections it needs to make. So for example, an individual may be able to focus on playing a sport or a video game. And that's one of the things parents always say. But that same person may be seriously impaired in deploying their executive function in their brain on other tasks, even though those tasks are important and they know they need to do them.
So basically you're saying that the part of the brain that helps with self-management isn't working the same as someone who doesn't have ADHD.
That's right. The part of the brain responsible for that executive function impacts a lot of things that we do. It has to do with motivation, prioritizing tasks, focusing, shifting, all of those things. Even managing sleep and alertness and trying to deal with your emotions, you know, the faster that you do things, how fast you do them, all of these things are affected by that self-management part of the brain.
Well, Dr. Linda, we're coming up on our first break, and I don't want to forget about that. So while I'm thinking about it, let's go to the break. More when we return on how adult ADHD impacts relationships on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Social media can be a real source of jealousy in our culture. It's so easy to be envious of a friend's fitness progress, a family member's new car, or a colleague's promotion. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I know I'm not the only one who plays the comparison game on social media. But if our self-worth is measured in the number of hearts our Instagram gets, we're missing the point, big time. Instead of obsessing over the number of thumbs up you get, ask yourself, are my actions worthy of a thumbs up from God? I promise you, he doesn't care what your outfit of the day is or if you're drinking your first Starbucks red cup of the season. God already gave you a double tap when he knit you in your mother's womb. And the only filter we need is Christ himself, who erases our imperfections and makes us holy. Having lots of followers is great, but remember, God asked us to follow him first. And you can tweet that.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And today's topic is adult relationships and ADHD. And we have a lot more to talk about. But before we move on, I want to remind you to check out Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. And there you will find her blogs, books, and you can connect on social media as well. And remember, an easy way to know what Dr. Linda is writing about each day is to follow her on Twitter and on Facebook at Dr. Linda Mental. And you can listen to the podcast on iTunes anytime, Dr. Linda.
That's right.
Now, earlier in the show, I made the claim that people with ADHD are selfish and inward-looking. That's not correct.
It's not correct. We really, really need to understand this as a neurobiological problem that is going on in the brain. I don't even like to use the word problem, Chris. I like to say their brain just functions differently. And, you know, you need to understand your brain. So if you're born with a brain that functions a little bit differently than someone else's, then you need to learn how to work with that brain so you can be as effective in your life as someone else. So this isn't like, oh my gosh, you can't be a great person and have tremendous success. You can, but you need to understand how your brain is being wired and how it works and what you can do to really help yourself be successful.
Let me ask you about hereditary. Does ADHD run in families?
It does. It's what we call highly heritable, which means it does get passed down from one to another. And whenever I have somebody with ADHD, I look at the family and I think, is somebody else also diagnosed with that? And a lot of times you'll have a parent who has never really had the formal diagnosis, but has a lot of the same symptoms.
Now we see those symptoms, you know, the hyperactivity, and we discussed that part. What about the person's emotions? How are they affected?
So this is interesting because in the criteria, when you're diagnosing ADHD, there's really not much about their emotions in there. But there's been some new research that shows that people with ADHD also have a lot of trouble managing their emotions because they do struggle with impulsivity, right? They sometimes have excessive reactions to frustration. They get angry, discouraged, and they have some anxiety and other emotions. So this is not something we've been really talking about. But if you live with someone with ADHD, you can see sometimes that they'll have a very low frustration tolerance and they get very frustrated very quickly.
So now that we've unpacked ADHD and we're starting to understand it, how does it affect relationships?
So it can create a lot of misunderstandings. And this is the part of the show that I really hope is going to be helpful to people listening. Because you can get frustrated with someone with ADHD. You can even start to feel resentful if you don't understand how it's affecting things and you don't know how to address it in your relationship.
See, that was me a minute ago. I talked about how I thought they were selfish.
Right.
But it's actually a biological situation. Let's go over how the person with ADHD feels in the relationship. And this was taken from a book called The ADHD Effect on Marriage, Understanding and Rebuild Your Relationship in 6 Steps by Melissa Orlov.
Yeah, so it's a helpful book. There are a couple of really good books out there when you're living with somebody with ADHD to help you understand what's going on. So the person who has the ADHD diagnosis is feeling like they're constantly being criticized and nagged and overmanaged by somebody. They're forgetting things, so then the person has to go in and say, hey, hey, well, that feels like nagging a lot of times. But again, remember the brain is different. It's often racing. The person's feeling overwhelmed and constantly stressed because they have all these details in life that they have to pay attention to that they're missing and they're forgetting about. They sometimes depend on other people to get them to where they need to be or remind them to be on time for things. So there's this little bit of dependency that sometimes goes along in the relationship. And sometimes that makes people feel like they're not, you know, worthy of their partners. And men will say in relationships that they sometimes feel emasculated because their wives are always having to remind them of things. Sometimes there's shame. There's this fear of failing. And the person just wants to be loved despite these imperfections. Look, we all have imperfections. And so one of the things we can think about is that this person just has a brain that works differently.
So what about the person who lives with the person with ADHD?
When you live with somebody, you might feel a bit ignored or unappreciated sometimes because the lack of attention to details and maybe what's going on with you sometimes makes you feel like the person doesn't care about you or isn't cherishing you in the way you would like. You're tired of taking care of everything sometimes. And maybe the person is feeling the burden of, I got to remind the person, I have to take care of bills, I have to make sure that we're getting what we need for the kids, all of that. It can make the person feel incredibly stressed out because they feel like they're carrying the family responsibilities and they can't let their guard down. But again, we're going to talk about how you can turn this around so that you're not in this position. You don't feel like you can always rely on your partner because they forget things and they don't follow through sometimes on the promises. So you constantly have to think about how to do it yourself and remind them of what they need to do. The bottom line of that is sometimes a spouse will come away feeling like, I don't know if they care about me, but they do. And that's the important message.
So they're not purposely being careless or forgetful or lazy.
Right.
This is something that they really need help controlling.
Yeah. And so if you recognize this between two people, you can start to say, okay, I don't want to nag, but how are we going to do reminders? So one thing that just comes to my mind right now is, you know, could you set a reminder on your phone as a way of cueing you that you have to do something at a certain time? And then I, as your wife, don't have to remind you because that feels like nagging.
Right. Like we've been saying all along, this could really be stressful, and I can see how it could cause a lot of relationship problems if you don't understand the person with ADHD. But it doesn't have to be this way, and we will tell you how to improve a relationship with someone with ADHD after we take a short break.
Everyone worries, don't they? Well, just listen to the nightly news or read the economic forecast or even talk to your family. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental. Opportunities to worry present themselves many times during our day. So why would God tell us not to worry when it almost seems like it's impossible? First, He knows the physical damage worry does to our bodies. Second, He wants to calm us down by taking the burden of control away from us. Hey, we don't have control, no matter how much we think we do. He does. And third, He wants us to trust Him. The root of worry is doubting God. Doubt is not trusting that God is who He says He is, or He will do what He says He will do. So every day, take your worries to God. Rehearse His goodness, accept His grace, and walk in the confidence that He is in control and He's working all things for your good.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and Dr. Linda has written numerous books that you can find on her website, drlindamental.com. And remember, you can listen to this program anytime on iTunes. If you think the show might be helpful to someone you know, tell them about the podcast. Isn't that handy, Dr. Linda?
It is, and we're also on Instagram. Now, we're just starting that, Chris, so we don't have a lot of stuff that we put on there,
right.
Probably because we don't have a lot of time, but it is a fun place to go, and there are a lot of people that want to look at things on Instagram, so we're trying.
Well, I'm not looking forward to Instagram because I always end up in one of the pictures.
We kind of use you to have some fun with, don't we?
It's like
a good sport, though. You're
like
a very good
mascot.
Sport about that. That's right.
Well, let's start this third segment with some tips for couples when one person has adult ADHD.
Okay, so we're going to start with tips for the person who does not have ADHD in the relationship, okay? Because we're talking about this as a two-way street. If you're married to somebody who has ADHD or you're in a relationship with somebody, you really need to understand what's going on with that person and then find ways to deal with the person. I know for me, one of the temptations is to just constantly repeat myself to that person and tell that person, why aren't you doing this? Instead of understanding that it's because they're having trouble remembering, right? So that's a very different motivation.
And because of what they're dealing with, they see that as an attack on their self-esteem.
They do. They do. So one of the first tips, and we say this, we've said this on a lot of our shows because I am the relationship doctor.
After
that's
all,
right. That's right. So we say you can't control your spouse, but you can control your own actions. So this part is more for the spouse to say, okay, how can I actually help the person? And one of the ways is to stop verbally attacking the person and don't nag, because those don't get you the results you want. You can nag a person, but if their brain isn't remembering things, what is that going to do?
True. Right.
Here's one of the things that we tell kids sometimes when we're working with them, and actually we use this with adults too, Chris, to help them really understand how ADHD affects them. So it's a little bit like if you're looking at something and it's really blurry, and then you put glasses on and suddenly you get focus and you can see better. That's a lot of times what happens with ADHD when treatment comes into play. We're going to talk about treatment in just a minute. But you got to remember that this isn't a willful thing that the person is doing. So the nagging and the attacking doesn't help.
You know, you can encourage your partner as well when they make progress. And acknowledge the achievements and the efforts when they happen.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the reminders that the person might set for themselves or making lists or whatever they're going to do to sort of help themselves remember things, when you see them doing something that's positive, make sure you say, I noticed that. It was really helpful. It was really good. And then I think when possible, try to focus on their intentions rather than what they actually do. Now, I know that's kind of counterintuitive because we say to kids all the time, you had good intentions, but you didn't follow through. But the person with ADHD a lot of times does have good intentions. So then the message would be, I know you had good intentions. What can you do then to help yourself follow through better?
And this is, I mentioned this earlier in the show where I felt like, you know, maybe a person with ADHD is always thinking about themselves and not you. But you say they may lose concentration when listening to you, but it doesn't mean that they don't care about what you have to say. That's interesting.
Yeah. So one of the things, again, with kids, when they have ADHD, I would not say to an ADHD kid, okay, I want you to clean your room, then I want you to pick up your clothes, then I want you to go to the store, and I want you. They're never going to remember all that.
Yeah.
So maybe one instruction at a time is a better way to do things. And then you got to stop parenting your partner. You know, they have to come up with a system that works. But if you're always the one who's kind of over them like a mom or a dad, that's not going to be a helpful way to build the relationship.
But what about the partner with ADHD?
So the person who has that diagnosis, they actually have to acknowledge the fact that they have it. That's a very helpful thing if they've been diagnosed. Because it's going to interfere with your relationship if you don't acknowledge that's what's going on. Otherwise, the partner will think, like you did, they're just being unreasonable.
Right.
So one thing is to explore treatment options. As you learn how you manage your symptoms and become more reliable, what's going to happen is your partner's going to ease off on all that nagging and those problems. When your emotions get high as the person with ADHD, it's just good to take a time out, calm yourself down, and try to refocus your brain. Listen, Chris, we don't concentrate when we're highly emotional, no matter who we are. It hijacks the thinking part of our brain when we get really emotional.
Right.
So if you're really emotional, especially when you have ADHD, you need to take a time out and calm down. And then find ways to show your partner that you really care about them, really small ways, and then you'll feel less like it's an unequal relationship.
You know, the good news is that couples can find new ways to face the challenges of ADHD and improve communication and understanding to the relationship.
Yeah, and that's the good news. The first step is to put yourself in the shoes of the other person and understand better how the disorder is affecting the person and the relationship.
So in other words, study up and be intentional so both of you understand this.
That really helps couples when they understand what ADHD actually is. You know, usually it's very smart people, but the brain just functions different. So you have to understand the way the brain is different. And for the partner with ADHD, it can really be a relief when people understand what's going on and why you're behaving the way you are.
After we both learn more about this in the relationship, then what?
Acknowledge the impact that the behavior has on your partner. It's really important to understand that. If you're the person with ADHD, you have to see that the spouse is feeling a little bit let down at times.
Right.
And you have to find a system that works so that you're not constantly doing the same thing over and over.
How important is it then to separate, here we go, who your partner is from their symptoms and their behaviors?
Instead of labeling your partner irresponsible, recognize that forgetfulness, the lack of follow-through, those are symptoms of ADHD. Now, that doesn't mean you just let it go and you just excuse it, but you can recognize that this isn't a character trait about my partner. This is really the fallout of the diagnosis. And if you recognize that, you're going to get less frustrated and less stressed by it because you won't see your partner in this negative way.
But you want to get diagnosed by a mental health professional, and there are formal evaluations to be done.
Yes, and that is so important because ADHD can be mistaken for other things. And so a complete evaluation by a mental health professional is what's needed.
And we've talked about this before. Even though folks are reluctant to use medication, it does work.
There's so much research that backs this, that people with true ADHD, their symptoms improve. And the medication works for about 70 to 80% of the people who are effective. And Chris, people will say, is like a completely different thing when I take that medication. I can focus, I can concentrate, and I can get things done.
So what about therapy?
Most people benefit from therapy. There's a behavioral type of therapy that's used. You can get coaching interventions. A lot of times a life coach will come along and help you set up systems to remember things, to get things done, to make time deadlines. And if you really want to look for some good resources, I would suggest people go to an organization online called CHADD, C-H-A-D-D, Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. That's a really good resource.
So the bottom line is that a couple has to learn to work together as a team. And in our last few minutes, let's talk about how to do that.
One thing is to divide tasks and stick to them. So if the ADHD person has a hard time with bills, then the other person take on the bills. If somebody does better with errands, take it on. If somebody's better with the hands-on with the child or the children or cooking, let them do that. It's also good to schedule weekly sit-down where you just talk about how we're doing. Are we making progress? Any resentment? What do we need to change? You can delegate. You can outsource. If some things are tough for somebody, maybe have somebody else in the family do it. Maybe you get a cleaning service, or you sign up for a grocery delivery, or you set up automatic bill payments so that it isn't so difficult to do. I think the most important thing is to develop a routine so that there's structure. Structure really helps when there's somebody in the family that has ADHD. Set up external reminders like we talked about. You can have a dry erase board in your home. You can have sticky notes. You can do a to-do list on your phone. And one thing that really helps is to control the clutter, because people with ADHD a lot of times have a hard time getting organized and staying organized. And so if you can help them set up a system for dealing with clutter and staying organized, that really takes down the stress. And one last thing I would say is it's good to have the ADHD partner repeat requests. That way you avoid misunderstandings, and you can say, you don't have to do it in a demeaning way, but you can say, so what did we agree on? What are you going to do? And then that person can either write it down, put a note or reminder. That way you make sure that you are working as a team. So in sum, it's a lot of information we're giving people, but the more you learn about ADHD and then work with a coach or a therapist to help the couple work together, the better things will go. We hope we gave you some helpful tips, and we want you to study up on this and really understand it. Go to some of those resources that are free on the internet and learn more about it. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our social media directors, Zach and Allison Bolton, our engineer and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.